We'll hear from the leader of the Freedom Party of Ontario, who says, well, we may think McGuinty made a mess of the situation in Caledonia, but the Tory position is equally confusing. Hypocritical baffle gab, he calls it. We'll get to that more in moments on the Oakley Show at AM 640 Toronto Radio. As well, we're going to hear from Paul McKeever. He's the leader of the Freedom Party of Ontario. Talking about Caledonia, the standoff continues. And John Tory's weighed in saying, you know, McGuinty's really dropped the ball on this. But according to our man who's about to join us, John Tory's no better. He's a hypocrite. So we'll get the details in moments on the Oakley Show.
The Straight Goods, the John Oakley Show, AM 640, Toronto Radio.
We've been more than patient. We've demonstrated exceptional goodwill. And now we're calling upon Chief McNaughton to speak to those people who happen to be on the land and make it clear to them that any kind of behavior that constitutes a nuisance and interferes with quality of life is unacceptable.
All right. Premier McGuinty on a situation in Caledonia where a lot of us believe he's dropped the ball or made a mess, but according to a piece in yesterday's Toronto Star penned by Paul McKeever, the leader of the Freedom Party of Ontario, John Tory or the Conservatives who would like to see themselves in power next year are equally feckless. Paul McKeever, author of that piece in yesterday's Toronto Star, is joining the Oakley Show this morning at AM 640 Toronto Radio. So, Paul, I mean, I guess the obvious question, are both parties haunted by the ghost of Iberwash? You seem to imply that in your op-ed piece.
Good morning, John. Absolutely. That's exactly what's going on here. I think what's happened is that over the last 10 or 11 years, people out there who don't particularly like tax cuts and that sort of governance have managed to associate the death of Dudley George with that sort of agenda. And so now the PCs are taking sort of a lily-livered approach here and saying, you know what, we're never going to be forgiven unless we say that Mike Harris is a bad, bad guy, and unless we start saying that, look, we're much more left-wing than, you know, we've returned to being just a party that governs the status quo. You don't have to worry about us cutting your taxes or removing government services. So as a result, we have both parties equally afraid to say that the Premier's office does have the right, and indeed has the duty, to tell the police, get in there, do your job, enforce the law. And if you receive some sort of fire back. If you're overwhelmed, it's time to bring in the army.
See, this is very, very interesting, because you do say very early on in your piece that there's this notion that neither McGuinty nor Tory, if he were to assume the reins of power, has the constitutional authority to order the cops in, but you're telling us otherwise.
Well, I'm not telling you otherwise, John. Actually, 2 years ago, this Iberwash inquiry had six professors from Ontario who are experts in constitutional law draft up and present papers on the very issue. Does the Premier have the power to direct the police? And in fact, I think in every case, but it was certainly in at least two of them, they said absolutely there are good legal arguments that they do have not only the constitutional authority, but the duty. In fact, the act that gives the police power in this province says that the Solicitor General has the ultimate authority over the police. So what we're seeing here is that both the Liberals and the Conservatives are hiding behind this this notion that, oh, well, we have no power. Well, if you have no power, then why on earth is John Tory coming out and saying that, you know, Dalton McGuinty has failed to exercise power? And why on earth propose laws or rules or conditions for staying on the park when if those conditions are never obeyed, you're going to say, well, okay, we're not going to do anything.
All right, and you brand this, Tory's position on that you know, the natives should abandon their position so they can continue to negotiate in good faith. You call this hypocritical baffle gab.
Well, I call it baffle gab for one politician to blame another for not bringing in the police, implicitly. I mean, that's what he's implying throughout. We've seen, for example, in the National Post, Tory get this this halo of what a leader. Look at his hard line. Well, that's not a hard line. I mean, I can make up rules too. Look, you know, keep order, don't be loud on the park, don't drive your ATV lights into other people's homes. But so what? What if you break the law? That's what both of them are failing to mention. And Tory is particularly bad at glossing over the fact that he agrees with McGuinty on this absurdity that the Premier's office has no power to direct the police. I say, get him in there, get him in now, and don't negotiate at all until people have left that land.
And you call that upholding the rule of law. And by extension, you say they've lost their nerve. All parties have lost their nerve because they don't want to be painted or seen to be as mean-spirited and hard-hearted as the Harrisites.
You got it.
It really comes down to that. It's that simple. And so, I'll ask you, obviously it's maybe, I don't know if this is a conflict of interest where you're leader of the Freedom Party of Ontario, but do you think Tory is taking too centrist an approach in positioning this party away from Harris so that he's almost becoming overlap or indistinguishable from McGuinty's Liberals?
Yeah, I think we're seeing, in Ontario, we're seeing sort of a repeat of what happened federally in 93. I think this party's going to be, if it doesn't change, and I don't think it will, especially under Tory, I think we're going to see it basically fade into redundancy. It is irrelevant. You either have a party that reflects the will and reads the polls and does only what the polls say, or you pick a party like ours. I'm going to pump my own here for a second, Freedom Party. Look, some things are right, some things are wrong, and it's the responsibility of the government to go out there and make sure that everybody plays by the same rules. And if somebody fires on you, well, gol darn it, you have a right and a duty to fire back and maintain the law. It's not the case that police are mere peacekeepers. They are law enforcers, and that includes enforcing the law of property in this province.
So if Paul McKeever's the premier, you've got the OPP in there taking these people out by force if necessary?
If necessary.
Wow. Great read. I'd refer you again to it. You can Google it. The Tory stance on Caledonia crisis is hypocritical. Yesterday's Toronto Star. Paul, appreciate your time this morning.
Take care, John.
Okay. There he is. Interesting. Paul McKeever, leader of the Freedom Party of Ontario. By the way, in the next hour, we're going to hear from a reporter with the Hamilton Spectator who will inform us that the former Indian Affairs Minister, Jane Stewart, will you hear her per diem, what she's charging per day to, quote, negotiate the land dispute, end quote. Major, major dineros being made. Maybe that's the whole point and purpose of this. Prolong the agony for the taxpayer.
She's still on the clock.
Oh, Lord. Wait till you hear and how. That's coming up in a moment. 7:49. Just to update you, our online poll question this morning, Jack Layton suggesting that we ought not to continue to get more aggressive and prosecute the war in Afghanistan. In fact, pull out and negotiate with the Taliban. He believes that's the more prudent way to go about things. In fact, do we have a clip of Jack from yesterday in his own words?
There's no balance. In particular, it lacks a comprehensive rebuilding plan and a commensurate development assistance plan.
All right, that's like Charlie Brown's teacher to me. I'm sorry. I just tune out when Jack starts going with the hypocritical baffle gab, I believe the last guy suggested. Right now, 8.1% of you responding to the poll believe that Jack's on to something here. 91.9% of you know Jack's on something when he suggests negotiating with the Taliban. Look, Jack ostensibly believes he represents communities like the gays and lesbians, women, the downtrodden, the oppressed. These are all the people the Taliban would take into the Sagar Stadium in Kabul and summarily execute. So God bless you, Jack. Let's legitimize these people. Let them have a role in defining how Afghanistan is governed going forward. Good work. Unbelievable.
It's Toronto's morning paper without the eye strain. The John Oakley Show, AM 640, Toronto Radio.
8:14, we'll get to our Friday film guy here in just a few moments. From time to time, we like to dwell on this Caledonia impasse, which continues, and there's some suggestion the natives are going to be there for the long haul. They're looking to assume control of the 11 unbuilt houses, and they're even soliciting donations, don't you know? On the other side of the ledger, how are we doing with the negotiations? You'd be surprised. Interesting story out of the Hamilton Spectator the other day. This Caledonia tab is going to cost you and me, the taxpayer, quite a hefty stipend, and you won't believe who's at the center of it all. To join us with the details, she's uncovered the story, Marissa Nelson from the Hamilton Spectator. Good to have you here on the Oakley Show at AM 640 Toronto, Marissa.
Thanks so much.
All right, so, negotiating this native land claim in Caledonia appears to be good work if you can get it. Who got it and how good is it?
Well, Jane Stewart is the lead negotiator for the province, and the Spectator filed a Freedom of Information request for her agreement with the province. And she's getting $1,300 a day for her work, and the contract sets out that she can charge to a maximum of $300,000 for the lifetime of the 11-month agreement.
To sit around the table and basically chirp, and because not a lot of us are confident this is really going to go anywhere, she stands to make $300,000.
That's correct. And she can also charge to a maximum of $30,000 for expenses.
Of course. I mean, gas and meals and maybe the occasional movie. So How is this, how did we arrive at Jane Stewart? Now, we should point out, first of all, because she has a background in Indian affairs, but a lot of us with long memories also remember her for being the point person on that $2 billion human resources and development boondoggle.
Yes, the province says that she's the perfect person for the job because not only does she have experience with Indian affairs, but she was also the MP for Brant County for many years. So she knows the issues and the geographic area is their argument.
Appointed by Premier McGuinty or otherwise?
I believe it was Premier McGuinty, but the agreement is just between the province of Ontario and Jane Stewart.
I see. And she's already been in negotiations with the natives, has she?
Yes, she has. I believe this week she's actually also been out knocking on doors of neighbors of the site. So she's been in talks and also been doing a lot of other work in town, so I'm told.
At $1,300 a day plus expenses.
Yes, and she also gets paid for 50% of her travel time.
Oh, really? So she's on the clock when she's in transit?
Yes.
Now, how long has this been going on? How long has Jane been in charge?
She was appointed in mid-May.
Oh.
I've asked how many days she's actually charged for and have not been able to get any answers on that front.
All right, again, under the Freedom of Information Act. Now, it's funny because, you see, she didn't show up on anybody's radar until you brought it to our attention in The Spectator the other day. We always thought it was David Peterson. What happened to David Peterson's role in all of this?
Well, David Peterson was in the early days. He was there for about 6 weeks, and then he was asked to do it in a short-term way. I believe Jane Stewart is seen as more of a long-term negotiator.
Uh-huh.
So David Peterson left probably over a month ago anyway. He sort of, as Jane came onto the scene, he sort of faded back into the background. I've also asked for his contract, and there doesn't appear to be one. So I called Mr. Peterson, and he said, in fact, there wasn't one, and he wasn't paid anything.
Right, at least nothing that you could turn up because I guess they had shrouded it in solicitor-client privilege.
Well, I'm not sure. That's hard to say. I asked for, it was the exact same request, so I would think if there was a contract, it would have been termed up.
Right. And so let's give him the benefit of the doubt, doing pro bono work on the part of the province, and kudos to him. But Jane Stewart, billing us $1,300 a day plus expenses, and you're saying by the time it all wraps, March 31, 2007, we could be out $300,000+ for her negotiation skills.
Absolutely. And the bill is, we ran a story today about Caledonia neighbors of the area actually wanting to be bought out as well. So the bills are going to escalate.
Are you talking about Caledonia residents now want the province to pony up cash to buy them out of this mess?
That's what the mayor is saying, that neighbors, direct neighbors to the site who live very right next to it, have asked that they want to be bought out as well. And that's also in the wake of millions of dollars going to the people who were developing the actual subdivision. Back yesterday it came out that they got an additional $3.5 million on top of the $12.3 million they got in July.
It's turned into an auction. Basically, if they sit there long enough, they will have enough money to do whatever. It's unconscionable. It's just amazing to me. I mean, Marissa, this is great reporting. Obviously, because heretofore we'd not heard that Jane Stewart was at the public trough in such a dramatic fashion since May. You would think that, and this thing has actually backslid to the point where the natives now want to lock in for the winter. They're soliciting donations. They've got a bank account dedicated to that purpose. Any idea how much they've got in that account?
No idea at all.
All right. Are they impressed with the money that Jane Stewart stands to make?
They were pretty upset about it. While they didn't badmouth Jane Stewart, they were frustrated. They always say when things like this come up that it seems that the province is quick to hand out, that the government is quick to hand out money to non-natives, even though they've been waiting for years to have their resolution.
Seems like the checkbook is coming out here in the province to buy their way out of this mess in Caledonia, when just enforcing the rule of law might have been a more appropriate response. Again, Marissa, congratulations on a fine report.
Thanks so much.
All right, Marissa Nelson with the Hamilton Spectator from 2 days ago, revealing that Jane Stewart is getting $1,300 a day, plus.
I don't expect a resolution anytime soon.
Why would it? Why would there be? I mean,
you want to negotiate your way to March 31st at the very least.
All right, God bless them all. This is the way it works. Your government at work. Your tax-paying dollars at work.